This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. Earlier this week, the state budget was released and we've been flicking through it and trying to find out what's in it for us. I'm joined by State Treasurer Robert Lucas. Treasurer, thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
So, out in the Mid-North, the Flinders Ranges and Upper Spencer Gulf, what does this budget have for us?
Well, overall, for all the regional areas, there's a massive investment from the government into the regions. Over the November budget last year and this budget, there's $2.5 billion towards new initiatives, particularly in roads, transport, health and education. But sort of within your sort of broad region, if I can just describe it broadly, we've got an extra $180 million going towards the next stage of the Port Augusta Highway project, which will take the road from around about Nantawarra to Lochiel. So, as you know, there's a lot of money going into Port Wakefield and the area immediately to the north of Port Wakefield up to Nantawarra. This will take the next stage of that particular project. If you go to the far north, one of the major infrastructure projects which has been talked about for decades was an additional $80 million going into a total $215 million to seal the Strzelecki track, which is going to be critical to South Australia in terms of both the mining and resources industry sector and also for the livestock sector and tourism as well, obviously, in terms of those sorts of issues. And then there's a whole range of other projects as well. You're probably familiar with the $1 million that's going in towards the $2 million Ryan Mitchell Swim Centre rejuvenation at Port Augusta. There are a lot of projects in and of that particular order. There's $760,000 going, again, as part of a local government partnership towards disability access to community infrastructure facilities in Port Pirie. There's $2 million going towards the Borough Cultural and Events Centre. So, look, there are a huge range of projects. I just can't go through all of them. That's just a selection in your immediate broad region. But as I said, over all of the regions, there's $2.5 billion worth of investment. And the reason for that is the government accepts the fact that the regions are a critical part of our state's economy. And it's important for people in regional communities to remember that not all of the priorities, not all of the funding is going into metropolitan Adelaide.
And one of the things, I guess, which stood out for us in the regions was, I guess, money being put towards health. There was a lot of announcements for what's going on in Adelaide, but, of course, we are going through a lot of regional doctor shortages and ambulance shortages in the regions. What kind of money is being put towards that space in this budget?
Well, look, there's record spending for health overall, and I guess the Minister for Health might be best placed to give you the details in relation to the individual projects in individual areas within your region. But we're putting in $900 million a year more next year than the former Labor government spent in 2017-18. So, you know, I think your listeners are going to understand that that's a huge extra investment that we're putting in on an annual basis. This is not just once off. On an annual basis, that's going into the total health budget. And significant portions of that health budget are obviously going to be spent in regional communities and regional areas as well. So whilst one of the two of the headline issues in particular may well appear to be just metropolitan focus, but again, the Women's and Children's Hospital is a state facility. If women and children are in particular in a stage of care where they require the specialist or acute facilities that only a specialist hospital can provide, as you know, they're going to be transported or moved to the specialist facility in the centre of Adelaide. So regional families will benefit from investments like Women's and Children's Hospital. It's $1.95 billion. It's replacing old and outdated facilities. It's going to be a 13% expansion on what we already have. So all South Australian families, metropolitan and regional, are going to benefit from this huge investment into health.
Of course, many towns are made up of very dedicated and committed small businesses. What's in this budget to help them thrive over the next financial year?
Look, a continuation of our policy of driving down the cost for all businesses in the state. This government has moved away from an emphasis on picking winners or politicians and public servants picking winners and giving an individual business a grant. There's still some of that that continues. But we've spent a lot of time in terms of driving down the costs of all businesses. So for the average business, their electricity costs have gone down $1,350 through the policies that we've implemented. For the average business, their water bills have gone down around about the same mark as well, as a result of us driving down water costs for all businesses in the state. As you would be well aware, and I'm sure your businesses in your regions will know, we're continuing our policy of the abolition of payroll tax for every small business in the state with a payroll under $1.5 million. And we've probably got a lot of businesses in regional South Australia that are small businesses with payrolls under $1.5 million and are our policies. They don't pay any payroll tax at all.
And, of course, measures to increase apprenticeship uptake as well.
Yes, well, so there's a new initiative again. We've extended for another 12 months payroll tax exemption on the employment of new trainees and apprentices. The government, both state and federal government, to be fair, have a combined program of encouraging additional trainees and apprentices. You know, employers in the regions and the metropolitan area can get up to $32,000 in subsidies for an individual apprentice under joint state and federal subsidies. And we're assisting that with, in essence, removing the payment of payroll tax if you are going to be exposed to the payment of payroll tax for taking on additional trainees or apprentices. It's critical. We're seeing, whilst our unemployment rate as measured is still too high, we've got record numbers of vacancies, and we're seeing a lot of that in the regions. You know, for some reason, we can't attract baristas and chefs and cooks and hospitality workers and other specialised workers in the fruit picking industry and others into our regions. So we need to be providing further skill training, upskilling, retraining, and to try and encourage younger South Australians in particular that there are significant job opportunities in many regional areas of South Australia.
And just changing topic from the budget, something we've also been talking about on air this week has been council rates, of course, coming into the next financial years when these conversations tend to be had. And in Port Augusta, they mentioned, one of the councillors mentioned that renewable energy projects don't actually pay council rates, which, of course, then people in the community will see as them footing the bill for that. Is that something Treasury is looking at changing up? Because, of course, these I spoke with Dan Van Hospelikan earlier in the week. He said this has been something that's been in place for over 20 years now and is a little bit out of date, considering renewable projects have really taken off in South Australia.
Yeah, well, there are no plans to change the current rating arrangements that have been there for many decades in relation to rating policies for councils. I think the challenges for councils are to them to get there, as we all have to do, to get our costs in order and what you're spending your money on. So there's clearly, through the rate revenue, that a lot of councils, and I can't speak for the individual councils that you might be referring to, but if I can speak generally, a lot of councils have got very healthy rate revenue income still coming into them under the existing policies without actually having to extend it into new areas of rating policy. And the challenge for councils, and that's where pressure at the local level needs to go, and have a look at what they're spending the money on and making sure that what they're spending the money on is justifiable and is producing the sort of results that local communities want.
Well, but also, to be fair, there are a lot more renewable energy projects happening, especially in the Upper Spencer Gulf area. That's a lot of council land that wouldn't be great.
That's a good thing, and it's providing jobs, and it's certainly good in terms of driving down electricity prices. As I said, the current rating policies have existed for a very long time, and as the Treasurer, as the person responsible, I'm not proposing to be changing those particular policy arrangements to allow councils to, collect even further rate revenue in relation to these particular areas.
Even if it means bringing down rates for the residents of those communities?
Well, I don't see that's ever guaranteed, is it? I think a lot of councils just like to see collect more revenue so they can spend more money.
No worries.
I think the challenge for councils when they collect more rate revenue, whether it's a new rating area or indeed just because valuations have gone up, is to see whether they do actually reduce rate revenue rates for other ratepayers, or whether they actually do just consider new ways of spending the money.
No worries. Well, Treasurer, we're out of time, but thank you so much for chatting.
Pleasure talking. Thanks, Ian. Bye-bye.
That was Rob Lucas, Treasurer for South Australia, on your Classic It's Breakfast.